Okay, we're rolling.
Okay, it is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019, and the time is 6:01 p.m. I'd like to call the City Council to order. If Chris, if you wouldn't mind doing the Pledge of Allegiance and leading us in a prayer as well. Okay, that'd be great.
All rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this evening and we give Thee thanks for this day. We're thankful for the bounty of rain that we've received, and we thank Thee for all the blessings that we have in our lives here in this city. Father, at this time we ask Thee to bless those who are serving us, those in the sheriff, the fire, and EMT, and emergency services that protect us throughout our lives. We ask Thee to bless them, to keep them safe. Also, at this time, we ask You to have a blessing upon the families that live here in Vineyard, that they'll be safe and they'll be able to continue to prosper. Father, we're thankful for all the blessings we have in our lives, and these things we thank Thee and ask Thee for. In the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Okay, we'll go ahead and move into our open session. This is a time for people to come up and address the council about things that are not on the agenda. If you have anything that you would like to say, please come to the podium, state your name and where you're from. Come on up.
I'm Reese DeMille with Republic Services. Mayor and Council, thank you. I'll just take a quick second. I just wanted to thank you all for reaching out to us and giving us the opportunity to participate in your beach cleanup. We were able to provide some containers for you, donated some services there, and then hopefully your spring cleanup went well.
It was fantastic. It was really good.
Everything went okay.
Yeah.
So I know Jake stays on us and does a good job communicating all that information with us, but we appreciate you reaching out to us as a community partner and letting us help you with that. So.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was really cool, and we got to go and visit different sites in the city, and I think it was well enjoyed by all participants. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Would you like to come up and say something at the podium? That's okay. Is there anyone else while you guys are waiting that would like to speak? Why don't you come?
Yeah, I just want to ask about a couple of my name is Thomas Poole.
Where are you from?
I live in the Springs. I just wanted to talk about a couple intersections and a couple places where I think some crosswalks might be appropriate. From the Springs area on 80 West to a crossing across West Vineyard Loop Road over to the apartments on that side, I see a fair amount of children crossing that and a lot of people in the townhomes or apartments speeding down that road fairly quick. I see kids, you know, in the afternoons when I'm coming home crossing that, and they're so small, I feel like there could be issues. I feel like there probably need some crosswalks with signs with probably little indicators that you can press the button, lights pop up, would probably be the best. I think also a couple crosswalks, probably across West Vineyard Road and across Main Street as well, going over to the Water's Edge Clubhouse. Another thing, I've talked to Morgan Brim in the past about it, and I think in that same intersection, the amount of traffic flow is an issue at kind of rush hour times, getting out of that street, especially for a lot of people in the Springs area. And I think it'd be very appropriate to have something that has a higher flow rate than just a stop sign on each side. So I think kind of a traffic circle or a roundabout would be really appropriate right there to keep traffic flowing, but not having traffic lights for the increased light and, you know, for the issues for those apartments and those homes, that would be, you know, directly close to that.
Okay.
I just wanted to bring that up, see if that was something that you could possibly do a traffic study, see kind of what would be best solution there while avoiding a light.
Absolutely. Thomas, would you be able to leave your email and phone number
for sure.
with actually on just on the sign-up sheet. Is that right, Pam?
Yeah.
And then what we'll do is we will have our public works director review the streets that you talked about and then get back to you and talk about the process of how that will actually work out and what we'll be able to do.
I think one of the time, I think one thing people also think about when they think of roundabouts or traffic circles is the safety of pedestrians.
Yeah.
Having, because I know the roundabout right here is they have the crosswalks that are very close to the beginning and an exit of each entry point in the roundabout, right? I think if you could, if you were able to put those back a few yards, right? I think it'd probably help, allow pedestrians to actually cross without still being safe, right?
Yeah, that's a good input. Actually, that is a big discussion that happens about roundabouts. So you're pretty accurate there. So yeah, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate you sharing these concerns, and we'll make sure that you're connected and we get this rolling and at least find out what we can do. So
for sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas. That's okay. Please use that microphone. That's a great solution.
Hello, my name is Peter Clausen, and I would like to present the start of a community bike race like Tour de Cookie in Rockville, Maryland. So what Tour de Cookie is a family-friendly bike race that brings the community together. At every mile, you will stop and get a cookie from the cookie booth. In Maryland, at the real event, the courses range from 12 to 43 miles. Since Vineyard is growing, starting this Tour de Cookie ride, we will accomplish the three goals, which are to create a family-friendly, fun race, to get people biking, and to have fun. We're going to make this race family-friendly by having families sign up to ride and to man the cookie booths. We can start this early in May to kickstart National Bike Month. To get people biking, we're going to invite bike vendors to come and teach the Vineyard community bike safety, how to share the road, and basic bike maintenance. To have fun, this will bring the whole community together and aware of National Bike Month. Hopefully this will get people outside and biking more. Thank you for listening. You can reach me at 240-205-6351. I live in the Parkside Sub-Association. My parents, Brett and Kathleen, and myself would like to be part of the planning committee. The reason for this is because my dad and I have done the race. My mom has experience as she has worked as a race director at Montgomery County Roadrunners Club. Every race supports a good cause. I think that this bike race should support a suicide prevention charity.
Thank you so much. And Peter, that's your name? Thank you so much for presenting this. And we actually are really excited about projects like this. We are trying to become a platinum-level biking city. We're constantly looking for ways to get people out biking, so it follows along with our city plan. We have declared May as Vineyard's Bike Month as well, along with National Bike Month. I think maybe it would be better if it was at the end of May because it's so cold, and it's so cold today. But that's just me if I was going to bike. But we will connect you with the right people to talk about it, you and your family, and we'll get this conversation started. So thank you for being brave, and thank you for talking to us about it. It's a great idea, and I love eating a cookie at every mile. Anybody else have anything they want to add?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to come and address the council? If not, I will go ahead and move on to mayor and council member reports. I'm going to excuse Nathan Riley and John Ernest today. Chris, do you have anything that you would like to share? Or Tice? No? If not, we will go ahead and move on to staff, commission, and committee reports.
I just wanted to give a quick update. Morgan and I were able to go to the ICSC retail convention this week. A few of the developers in the city were also down there, and so we had good meetings with them and with potential businesses that are really excited to come to the city. this was a great year in my mind to start doing this because a lot of the businesses knew what was going on in the city. And when Morgan went last year, he was really introducing the city to people. And this year, it was on their map, and they're a few of them are actively looking for sites in the city and are trying to decide between a few different sites. So that was really exciting to hear. We had good meetings with hotel groups, with grocery stores, restaurants, fast food and sit-down restaurants, and a few other service-oriented businesses that are really excited about the plans we have with the Megaplex and some of the office buildings. So a lot of the restaurants talked about daily foot traffic and things like that, that they need to see a little higher. They were excited to see that we have office buildings coming in and things like that. So it was a great conference, and I think a lot of the connections that we made will drive our economic development meetings over the next 12 months, and I think that next year is going to be incredible. So
that's awesome.
Excited about that. One really quick thing, I was able to attend the awards dinner for the Utah County Sheriff's Department, and we were lucky enough to have two of our officers recognized. So Holden, Sergeant Rockwell here, received the Division Commander Award, and then one of our deputies, Brett Ryan, received the Deputy of the Year Award. So both of them are doing great things, and all of our officers are doing great things.
It's because you shaved.
Mostly.
That's not true. We have a great team in Vineyard, both, you know, office staff as well as the sheriff's office. They have a great group of guys, and they're fun to work with, and I really do appreciate the work that they do, and Holden treats this like he works for the city. So that's kind of what I wrote to the sheriff's office, is that I feel like he's one of the department heads in the city. He participates in staff meeting and treats the city like it's his own. So I really appreciate the work that they're doing. That's all I have.
Thank you. And we feel the exact same way. We love our officers and wish we could have been there. I was out of town, but thank you so much. Before we move on, actually, because we have somebody here. Lindsay, do you mind coming up to the podium and just kind of introducing yourself? We won't be able to appoint you today, but we want to get the discussion started. And I thought it'd be cool to have the council kind of hear and the public hear a little bit about you. And just to give you a little context, we've been working on getting the library that with all the donated books and all of the volunteer and the seed money for the library going, and it's coming together, and we're getting to a point where we're going to be able to open it really soon. And so we've started to have discussions with Lindsay. And Lindsay, I don't know how to say your last name, so I don't want to butcher it. It's Lara, just, you know. Anyway, so just maybe introduce yourself really quick. And
okay, my name is Lindsay Lauridson. It's hard, but... I'm a librarian. I work at the Utah College of Dental Hygiene. I'm the librarian for the school. I just moved to the area in December. We moved from Price, and while in Price, I was a library board member. And I'm excited to be involved in the establishment of a library for Vineyard, and I am excited for all the future plans and will do my best to help out in any way I can.
Thank you. And she just randomly volunteered and asked to be a part of it and came and toured the library, and it's really exciting. Thank you. Do you guys have any questions for Lindsay? Okay. Thank you. Dawn, did you have anything tonight? Okay. And what about you, Sergeant Rockwell?
I just wanted to give an update. I know that recently we've been talking a lot about graffiti in the city. Last week, we were able to make an arrest from some video from a citizen in the preserves and charge that person with a felony and tie him to a lot of the graffiti throughout the city, not just within that development. So just wanted to give you an update on that. Made a felony arrest on that, and there was another person involved. We're still working on identifying that person. So.
Thank you. Yes, please.
So my wife was mentioning, I don't even know if this is true, that she saw posted on social media that there was video of a mountain lion by Franklin, and they called you. Is that true or not?
I just saw that, and I'm not sure yet.
So, okay, we have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that was... We have no idea.
Do you mean that they were made? They have been made aware of it. The posts. They have been made aware of the posts.
True.
We don't know if
you
the site
weren't contacted. You were made aware of the posts, but you weren't contacted by the people that supposedly took the video.
No.
The nighttime video, which you can't tell where it's at.
No.
Okay. Perfect.
And I will most likely be following up on that, so I'm finding out. I personally hunt mountain lions, so I know a little bit about them. If it was in the area, most likely it was moving through. We don't have a lot of habitat here for that, especially with the demolition of the deer habitat that we have in the city. So I don't have a big concern. We haven't had any calls about mountain lions in the city. So.
Yeah, and there was also a concern that there was hunting in that area, which has been also reported. So.
Yeah, and we'll look into that. So. Okay.
Okay. Christy? Actually, I'm going to put you on the spot, and Jessica isn't here tonight, Jessica Welch. She can't be here tonight. I'm excusing her, but I would like you to talk a little bit about her and tell us who she is since you guys know her so well.
Well, just really quick, our last planning commission was just a working session because our developer wasn't prepared, so we're just revisiting a few codes in the city and just... having some discussions to see if we should change anything or not. Jessica Welch, who lives near to me, and my whole married life I've been a Welsh, confused with a Welch, and now we crisscross all the time. But she has been asked to be the assistant Vineyard Youth Council
advisor.
Thank you. And she is awesome. She has 3 older kids, 2 of which I think are also going to be involved in the youth council. They're new to the city. They're living in the Edgewater right now, but they're building in the Hamptons. So it's great because they get kind of a feel of the whole community. And she's awesome. She's a real go-getter, and she's going to be a real asset, I think, to the Vineyard Youth Council for sure.
Thank you.
I think she's right on board to get started to help with Jim and the this June activity. I believe they're going to be doing a resume type building fair for a lot of the kids in the city to come and figure out how to put together a resume for kids who especially are looking for like summer jobs. So. Especially ones that have never done a resume before, and reach out to local businesses or maybe are hiring and looking to hire teenage kids in the city. And I think they're going to have CPR certification there, so they want to be looking more towards like lifeguarding, that type of thing. So I think that's going to be their big youth event for all the youth in the city. And they'll also be helping at the Vineyard Heritage Days.
Which is happening next week.
And just a little push for that, I believe there is a lot more on the volunteer schedule. So if anyone else would like to volunteer the city and anyone's listening, to reach out and volunteer.
Thank you. And her background is also in social work and nonprofit, so she's going to bring a lot of really good things to the community. Let's see. Pam, did you have anything?
Yeah, just real quick. So, as always, it's election time, so make sure you check in your voter registration on that. But I just wanted you to know that we will have a booth, at the Heritage Days Summer Celebration. So come visit us if you'd like to learn how ranked choice voting is going to work.
Thank you. George, did you have anything? And just thinking of you, George, with demographics, tomorrow we're going to have a news article about Vineyard come out, so keep your eye out for our population change. It doesn't represent the population in Vineyard because it's a little bit behind, and we grow exponentially every year. So 2 years ago or 1 year ago makes a big difference. But keep your eye out for that. Sullivan, did you have anything? No? Is the park going to be open this next weekend? Is the goal?
Yes. speak into the microphone. The heavy construction repairs have been completed. There's some repairs still going on with the splash pad. We have approval from the county to open the splash pad, but there's a couple of things that we need to finish up on that. There's some warranty work that needs to be done. But if the weather will allow us, we would like to try to open this weekend.
That's great. Okay.
That's kind of where we're at.
Thank you. Josh, where are you?
Okay, just three things. Jake and I have been working hopefully to get CPACE presented to the council within the next couple meetings. Excited about that. Next thing, so I attended the last Clean Air meeting. We went over the state budget for air quality. And so the state has it's either $25 or $27 million they budgeted this last session for air quality. And so the piece that's relevant to Vineyard is some of that money city can apply for to put in electronic vehicle charging stations. Who does our power? Is it Rocky Mountain or is it somebody else? Okay, good. Okay, so that means, so one of my next projects, I'm going to apply for two of those grants to see if we can get money for that as a city. And then I'm just getting things ready for the Heritage Festival. I'm going to do an air quality booth and kind of have some goals for Vineyard Clean Air there for a couple of days.
That's excellent. Thank you. Do you guys have any comments on that, Jake?
While we're talking about the summer celebration, there's a lot of new residents here. I assume you're residents. There's a lot of new people that I don't recognize. So I just want to really quickly remind the council and let all of the residents know about our big project we have. This summer celebration should be incredible. Oh, there we go. It's working finally. We've got – oh, it's off now? Let's see. Okay, I'll just – there we go. Not working on the front, though. Okay, you guys can see it on the side. So really quickly, we're going to have a carnival on Main Street at the Grove Park running from Thursday, May 30th to June 1st. And then May 31st, we have a movie in the park that night. We'll be showing Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet. And then June 1st, we have a big band coming, and then a fireworks show on the lake. So we can't confirm. I believe it's the first authorized fireworks show on Utah Lake. May not be the first fireworks show on the lake, but first authorized show. It's going to be really big. You'll be able to see it from anywhere in the city, and will be really exciting. So the celebration is going to be amazing. There's a lot of good food vendors and other vendors that are coming, and the carnival's really excited. The band and the fireworks show should be amazing. There will be a lot of traffic coming into the city on Friday and Saturday. So we're going to designate some parking, and we're preparing for all of this, so hopefully it can go off without a hitch, and we're really excited about it, just so the residents know. Spread the word.
I think it would be good to do a social media blitz of where parking's available.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, you're probably on top of it.
It's on the plan.
Perfect.
And maybe as part of that post, just remind people that this is where it's available, but our focus is going to be on this 30th year celebration, and so just remember that it is just for these 3 days.
Yeah, and we're working to make it as low impact as possible. So we're putting parking on roads that don't have a lot of development, and we're trying to designate parking. It will still bleed out into other areas. There will still be some of that, but we are trying to
mitigate
that as much
it.
As possible. So,
perfect. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and move on to our consent items. Can I have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve consent items 6.1 and 6.2.
Excellent. And a second? All in favor?
Aye.
As far as mayor's appointments go, you just heard about Jessica Welch, and we are looking to have her be the co-advisor for the Vineyard Youth Council. Can I have a motion?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We'll go ahead and move on to our business items, and I will just open, ask for a motion for a public hearing. And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're now in a public hearing. Jake will lead out on this.
Okay, so first off, I want to thank Mariah.
Oh, I'm going to interrupt you. Just so you know, a public hearing means that if you have any questions or comments during this time, this is the time that you would raise your hand and ask questions and on anything he has to say. And then we will close it, and it'll be just for the council's discussion.
So Mariah worked really hard to make this presentation much cleaner and prettier than it was when I did it. And she did a fantastic job, so I just want to recognize her and what she does for the city. A lot of times, you know, the people here are the ones that get recognized by the council, and we have a lot of great staff that are working really hard, and so just want to make sure you guys recognize that. Okay, so this is a tentative budget just for the residents here, the process, so they know the process. What happens is in January we meet with the city council and we identify some goals and priorities for the city, and then the staff goes back and we work on those goals. We look at revenue projections. We look at all of the different departments, and we kind of collaborate how we're going to accomplish those goals that were set and what resources we need in order to accomplish those goals. So then we come back, and the first meeting in May, we present a tentative budget to the city council. That's then brought before the public, and we have a public hearing. And then what we do here in Vineyard is we give ourselves 3 weeks to make any changes. So any changes that the city council recommends, any changes that we get from the public, that allows us 3 weeks to make shifts or changes and allocate resources how we see best. So we welcome any comments, and I would love feedback and would love to explain things that don't make sense. Otherwise, I'm just going to drone on for 20 minutes. So.
I didn't see a line item proposing the loaning of funds to UDOT for expanding the 800 North corridor. Can you?
You're talking about the Vineyard Connector?
Yes.
There's not anything on the budget this year for that.
So does the city have money in reserves to pay for that?
We don't.
So we would go into debt to pay for that?
If we undertook the project, that would be the only way we could finance it right now, yes.
And that's possibly $3 million or more?
I don't know what the connector, I mean, depends on how you're talking, because the connector goes all the way into PG. I believe it's more like a $40 or $50 million.
Just to clarify, I'm going to cut this conversation for a second. And the reason why is because it's a state highway, and so the funds don't actually need to come out of the city. The discussions that we've been having is that the funds will come from somewhere else. This is why we've taken it out of our budget.
You've spoken publicly saying that the funds will come from the city.
No, I said that we've had the funds for the city. I mean that we've had the funds for the road, not where the funds were coming from, but that we've reached them. We've been in lots of meetings. We've attended the legislative session. We've met with our state reps. We've met with the new vertical developer, and we feel like the funds are there.
The funds are there. So when will they start?
And just recently, as you can see, we're changing the budget, and we're updating this new plan. We feel that the funds are coming from somewhere else, and so we feel like we can allocate that $3 million that was originally in our budget, where we had said, hey, we do want it to go to the Vineyard Connector, and we're moving it because we feel like somebody else is going to do that and push that forward. So we're excited about that.
Okay. One other question. So I saw in our line item budget part of like $8,000 for live streaming. Did you get quotes or...
We have a couple different quotes on options to do that. I don't think it'll end up costing us $8,000, but we put the highest quote that we got. So the highest level of service, like some, it would be ongoing maintenance and money for a camera and things like that.
Do you have a staff that you've allocated resources for a salary to handle that?
No, the live stream, the system that we're looking at won't take a staff member. It would just be somebody here in the meeting to turn it on to begin with and then make sure that it follows the recording system that we currently have. So the recorder's running a Liberty system, and this would integrate with that.
So have you allocated additional funds for where you archive the audio soundtracks of the city council meetings for video storage as well?
What do you...
That's part of that, the biggest quotes that we got. They would. It's actually a separate website that they would maintain for us.
That's going to cost the most.
That part of it will. Okay. Yeah, oh, that archive piece, yeah. Absolutely.
You don't have any other questions? Okay.
Okay, so revenue projections, as the city council is well aware, this has to do with the population estimate. And as Julie noted, we heard today that the population estimate is going to be just over 10,000. You'll see article in the Daily Herald and the Deseret News come out either tonight or tomorrow morning talking about population growth. We're the number one in the state again, and percentage basis, we're the number one in the country. So we grew by 63% last year. And so where we were projecting our population to be 8,000, it's over 10. So that will impact revenue. We haven't done those numbers yet, but that will have an impact on the revenue side. So you can see here, we're projecting the fiscal year 20 budget to be just over $5.8 million. That's a $100,000 increase from last year. And just so the public knows, we budget revenue numbers really conservatively, just in case we have issues that come up that we're not aware of, or, you know, that way if the money comes in as high as we're expecting it to, we have additional money for capital projects and things that come up during the year. So, this is the split of revenue. So you can see our highest revenue source is property tax. And then it goes down from there. Sales taxes, the second highest. And then we have permit fees, franchise tax, miscellaneous revenue. On the expenditure side, you can see we spend a majority of the money on, well, 42%. Our highest category is public safety, so that's the fire side and the police protection. That also includes the allocation that we're required to pay to Utah County Dispatch. So this pie graph goes through all of the different funds you can see there. To dive into each individual department, the administration budget is $793. That's going down from last year, and the reason for that is because we've created an internal service fund. And what an internal service fund does is it takes costs that are attributable to all of the different departments in the city, and we kind of allocate all those costs. And we pool all of those costs in one fund, and then we distribute it out based on employee counts or how the operations of the city are handled. So for big equipment, it's distributed between the different funds that utilize the equipment, and then for maintenance and things like that, it's done based on an employee count in each department. Contracted services, again, is decreasing from last year. We've hired some in-house staff, and we had a large project last year updating the general plan, and those won't be renewed. Those were one-time projects, so that explains the decrease in cost. Building department is a decrease from last year, and that's due to contract labor. The permits are down a little from last year, so we think we can handle the inspections in-house. Public safety, again, is up. That is due in part to increased law enforcement personnel, and then in large part due to also an increase in the fire contract. So the dispatch is going up too, but it's insignificant.
Can you just explain that fire contract, isn't it?
Yeah, so the way the fire contract works is they take building permit data, and they Orem City uses an ERU or equivalent residential unit calculation to come up with a cost per home of what fire costs Orem City. And then they allocate that cost to us too. So it's a equitable way to do it. And they do it based on us needing a fire station in the next few years. So that is a decision that we'll need to make in the coming years on how we want to handle that contract moving forward. Public Works is decreasing by $49,000, and that's due in large part to not making purchases in the Public Works fund, but doing it through that internal service fund. Sanitation Department, you see the revenues and expenditures. That balance between the revenues and the expenditures is what we use for our spring cleanup and for the other projects that we do during the year. Parks Department is decreasing as well. There's a lot of changes in here, so we're moving our recreation coordinator to full-time. We're adding a bunch of programs, but there's a decrease in the parks maintenance contract. So we recently split. We had one contractor that was handling the weed maintenance and the mowing, and we've split those contracts up, and we've seen some significant savings because of that. So. Capital Projects Fund. The transfers that are happening are due to the BNC roads that we collect in the general fund, but in our city, we expend that money from our transportation utility fund. So those are spent on road maintenance and projects like that. And then the transfer to internal service fund is $241,000. That's for that vehicle and building maintenance cost that we've been talking about. This dives into what the actual expenditures are, or the revenue side for the internal service funds. So you can see there each fund is transferring money into the internal service fund for a total of $357,000. And then the expenditure side, you can see the major expenditures there. We've got fleet purchases and lease payments of $242,000, so that's a majority of that. And then you've got maintenance and operations and some insurance costs that are also allocated into that. Oh, one thing to note, this does bring in two additional trucks to the city for public works. So that's included in that $242,000 number. See the trend? The city's growing. We've been above our projections every year, and I anticipate that 2020 will be that way as well. We're conservative on revenues in the different departments as well. You can see here, total revenues are $1.5 million, total expenditures are $1.3. We've got a large project that's coming up, a water tank that needs to be built in the city, and it will be funded in part from current funds that the city has, and then it'll be split between the RDA, capital projects, and the water fund. But there's a remaining balance that will be due, and so we anticipate doing a revenue bond, and that gap between the revenue and the expenditures there is what will be probably used for that annual payment for that revenue bond. So that will be how we fund that water tank. And that water tank project will be happening very quickly. Again, the sewer revenues, you can see the growth the city's experienced over the last 5 years. $881,000 to $828,000. In the past, the city has had a hard time funding the enterprise funds, and this year is the first year that they're all self-sufficient. So that's a good thing to see. We're funding each of the departments, even with the transfer to the internal service fund, and we're beginning to, you know, stockpile some money for depreciation and maintenance. Here's the stormwater fund. We're proposing a fee change from $4 to $5, which will impact the revenue side by $38,000. So that will be the way that this stormwater fund is self-sufficient this year. So that is not reflected in the $153,000 number, but will increase that number. transportation fund again is for road maintenance, so that's that $240,000 that's being transferred from the general fund. In addition to that, we're collecting that utility fee for transportation. That's what makes up the balance of that $385,000, and this is the major expenditures that we anticipate spending the money on this year. Here's a list of the capital projects we have coming up. Not all of these are spent out of the general fund or capital projects. A lot of them are split between the RDA, enterprise funds, and general fund. So you can see down there at the bottom the water tank. We're anticipating being a $14 million project, and then the Center Street overpass currently is estimated at $8 million. So the Public Works building is on the north side of the city on the piece of ground that we purchased last year. And the 2000 North improvements is that that road that we share with Linden. That's the cost that we're going to be responsible for improving that road. Wetlands delineation is allowing us to go in and really find out how much of the area around here and to the east of Grove Park is actually wetlands and how much can be available for future park space or future open space in the city. And then Gammon Park Trail, if any of you have walked that recently, you know it needs to be updated. And so that money is there to make some improvements to that trail. And then other trail projects, connecting trail system in the city, there's some areas where we have trails that just end. And so this is a step towards correcting that. And then we're on to the RDA, so we can end there. Are there any questions for me?
Are there any more questions from the public? Would anybody like to make a comment? This is a great time to get any questions or concerns or make input. Now is the time.
So this
can you state your name?
My name is Keith Cooter. I have a question about this $4 fee changing to $5. What fee is that?
That's the stormwater. We'll go back to it. Hold on. Oh, I went too far. It's right here. Yeah, so it's currently $4 a month for a residential unit. For commercial, it's a little different. It's calculated based on impervious area. And
is this in any connection? Have you done any communication with the county? Because the county is experiencing problems out here with the builders not properly doing their storm drains.
So we have a stormwater inspector on our city staff that handles SWIP permits. The storm, I don't know what SWIP stands for, Stormwater Prevention Plan. What they said, Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan. So we have an inspector on site that goes out every day in the city and checks on those developments. So if you have concerns about that or if you've heard about problems with that, I'd love to hear about them.
Well, I understand that we need to do this and that you're proposing a 25% tax increase on this, but at a certain time it's going to be paid for. When is that fee going to stop? And that needs to be discussed by the city council.
So that's separate. So we collect a development fee from the developers when they come in.
Okay.
That pays for that inspection. But we have ongoing maintenance in our stormwater system in the city. That's what this fee covers, is the ongoing maintenance. So this fee isn't planning on, we don't anticipate this fee ever going away.
Yeah. And I might comment on that if I might, Mayor. We're required through the Clean Water Act, through the state and the feds that pushed it down to the local government, where we have to now maintain the stormwater systems to a certain level in a certain way. So all those gutters, inlets, pipes, the outlets, all that is our responsibility to maintain and keep clean and to make sure that inappropriate stuff doesn't end up downstream into Utah Lake. And they pushed it down on us and enabled us to fund that through the use of these kind of fees. So we end up with two ends of it. When we do the development, we've got the infrastructure that needs to be built and the inspections that are done by that SWIP inspector to make sure everything's built appropriately. And we've got our engineers who design it appropriately. And then after that's done, we are stuck with maintaining it just like any other utility. So all those pipes and gutters and everything that you see annually have to be kept clean, updated, have personnel dedicated to it. So the common thing is now is that we
created these stormwater utilities that are similar to your sewer utility fund and your water utility fund, your stormwater utility fund, and these are funded by fees charged. Generally, the cities in Utah County and Salt Lake County have used the same system, a base fee for each residential unit, and then a sliding fee for the commercial and institutional users based on how much rooftop, concrete, asphalt, impervious area they have, so that everybody's paying their fair share.
So can we have this information passed on to the county? Because I spoke with Commissioner Bill Lee like not 2 months ago. He is talking about raising property taxes in Utah County because of this problem here in Vineyard.
Well, not because
of locations as well.
Not because of a problem here in Vineyard. And it's a different thing with the county. They've got some issues with flood control and stormwater control, which is a different issue. Flood control and storm control is a countywide issue because you have areas that flood that run from city to city. That's a different issue than our storm, what some people call the storm sewer system. We're not talking about the flood control or the flood channels that are, to a great extent, regulated in a county function. But that's a different thing.
I believe you.
Yeah.
If there's a miscommunication, we'd be happy to address it.
I'm happy to share some information with
you. But the county's aware, and they do have a big problem in Utah County because it is a county flood control and stormwater runoff kind of thing on the large scale is a county function.
Well, and I would recommend just reach out to Commissioner Lee and find out. If he's got a direct issue, we have good communication with him. We can find out.
Yeah, and Keith, just so you know, we evaluate the utility funds each year. So as the city grows, we anticipate some of these fees could go down in the future. The state of Utah has required cities to be very transparent with utility rates. And so we don't have any anticipation that we'd be funding the general fund off of these utility fees. They are just supposed to be self-sufficient. And so the state of Utah requires a lot of noticing and things like that. If cities do transfer utility funds to fund the general fund, we don't have any anticipation of doing that. These are just to be self-sufficient.
And honestly, the opposite has been happening over the past 5 years. The city has been subsidizing these fees, and it's something that I felt is not – we need to make sure we can pay for what we're putting in, and that's where we're trying to balance it as best we can. So, because we don't want to come down the road in 15, I don't know how long stormwater stays, what the replacement plan is, but if we come down 15 years and have a $10 million expense and we have nothing to pay for it, we're in a whole lot worse than we are now. So I think the incremental shift to pay for itself will be very important. We need it to pay for itself.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? If not, I would like to make I need a motion to go out of the open session or open hearing.
I'll make a motion to
go ahead.
Close the open session.
And a hearing? I mean second. Sorry. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Is there any discussion among the council?
I just had one comment. So on the, as much as I love the Gammon Trail, what is the plan? Is it to re-cement, rip it out? Because as we look at that park space there, is there a way to not have to spend that much money and just make it like a natural trail? What's the plan?
So it's just to mill it and use it as a natural trail until we've finalized the 11-acre park as well, the Robbins property.
Yeah, make sure we weren't going to redo it and then some have to redo it again. It's just a waste of money. But this is just to mill it, remove the concrete. Okay. Okay.
We're going to remove the concrete and then it will be a natural trail until we've figured out what we want to do with the whole park.
Thank you. Okay, any further commentary? Or
One last one. I still think the fire station, I'll keep saying this every single time, I'm redundant, but if we are going to have to fund it in, is it 5 years?
It's a guess.
It's a guess, but if we're saying 5 years roughly, I think we really need to find that, like we've talked about. We've got to find money to start setting it aside now.
Yeah, there will be some changes between this public hearing tentative budget and the final budget that's approved. And just so the I probably didn't go forward from here for the residents. So the process from here is we have until the end of June to adopt a final budget. And so we make any changes that we need to make between now and June. We'll get what's called the certified tax rate from the county. If the city wants to approve a tax rate that's higher than what the county proposes, we'd have to go through a process called truth in taxation, and then we'd have a public hearing and adopt the budget in August. The city is not planning on doing that, so we'll adopt whatever certified tax rate. We're planning on adopting whatever certified tax rate the county sends us. So then that would happen the end of June, and it will be delayed. We usually try and do it the first meeting in June, but the county is 2 weeks behind on their data, so I don't think that we'll have our certified tax rate in time to do that. Mm. So we'll have that ready for the final meeting in June.
I just reiterate Chris's note that we know we have to build a fire station, and it's going to be very expensive because of the equipment that we have to put in the fire station and the people we have to hire to man the fire station. So I think it's imperative that we adjust this budget and future budgets to include putting money away towards that need.
So I can tell you what my plan is right now, and you please give me feedback on that. We've calculated we're estimating the cost of the fire station, and then if we were to do a bond for that full cost, we're estimating that our annual bond payment would be in the range of $200,000. So what my proposal would be is for the city to start putting that amount away every year so that if we do have a bond payment of that amount, it won't be a shock to the city budget at that point. And then with the, you know, if it is 5 years away, we've saved $1 million at that point that we can use to lower that bond amount. So that's kind of the plan right now. Is that you guys feel comfortable with that?
Totally.
Okay.
I feel comfortable. I still think... like asking about that park trail, I think there's some things where you can find a little bit here and there that we might be able to 1 year do $250,000. I think the more we plan for it now, the better off we'll be. It just gives us more options and flexibility if we have to end up bonding.
Right, and as you know, the economy is really strong right now. So as sales tax comes in higher, all of that additional money is put away. So, you know, while we didn't budget a ton of money to go to capital projects in the current year that we're in, we will be putting money towards capital projects in this current year budget. So that will happen as well.
Okay. So you were saying this is the tentative budget. When I make this, I have to make this motion. I'm just going to close out of this. There's no motion. Okay. So we're just going to close out of this and go into our RDA. Okay. If there's no other commentary, we are going to... I just need a motion to close the session.
Make a motion to close the session.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you so much for coming. We'll have our RDA meeting next. You're welcome to stay. Otherwise, have a great night.